Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. Good news, everyone. We can all relax now. Kevin McCarthy has promised that the January 6th security video he has released to Fox News may indeed be shown on television, but it will not include footage showing the secret exit paths for congressmen and senators and vice presidents the Trump mob wants to hang. And Kevin McCarthy promises this because he has been promised it by Tucker Carlson. So he'll have an exclusive, McCarthy says. Then I'll give it out to the entire country. Like he was a publicist trying to sell somebody on interviewing one of the Real Housewives of Murmansk. As if he would be qualified for such a job. If there has ever been in American political history a greater confluence of corrupt, cynical, unprincipled, immoral, indefensible, unreliable, disloyal, dishonest, condescending, unstable, malicious, anti-democracy crooks from two different fields than Kevin McCarthy and Tucker Carlson, I cannot identify them. McCarthy has told reporters that Carlson has personally and specifically assured him he would not show any video detailing the exit routes, and in fact, he would not even watch any video detailing the exit routes. Quote, "We walked through the security bases, so there's no concern." The assurances of Tucker Carlson, like when Tucker Carlson recoiled at the made-up conspiracy theories that the election had been stolen by voting machines controlled by software from Venezuela or China or Mars or whichever they chose. And he texted, "The software shit is absurd, shockingly reckless," unquote. Yet 7 weeks later, he had Mike Lindell on his show to make all those software accusations all over again. And when Lindell finished making them all over again, Carlson said, quote, "Mike Lindell, I really appreciate your coming on tonight. Thank you very much. God bless you." Tucker Carlson's word is the coin of the realm, provided the realm is Russia. As John Schwartz at The Intercept memorably summed up the Dominion documents, quote, "The most wonderful part of the filings is Tucker Carlson's inspiring principled stand against telling the truth." I await Kevin McCarthy's announcement that Tucker Carlson has also promised not to alter any of the video, nor to decontextualize it, nor to use it to support further Fox News segments gaslighting this country over what happened on January 6, 2021, calling it, as Carlson already has repeatedly, a false flag operation, and casting other doubts on the obviousness of a Trump-inspired coup attempt. Doubts that, who knows, Tucker Carlson might even himself believe. It is certainly possible, though none of us who have ever worked with him can identify such a previous case, that Tucker Carlson actually believes in something besides his own paycheck. Tucker Carlson promises Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin McCarthy promises us, the face of a television channel that a month ago ranked in credibility and honesty somewhere near German state radio in the 1930s, yet actually found a way to go downhill from there with these revelations of the jaundiced hypocrisy, the deliberate lying by Carlson and the other vermin in Fox primetime in the first set of Dominion lawsuit exhibits and depositions, and now with the naked suppression and censorship of truth and fact by the network's owner and his theft of the advertisements of one presidential campaign so he could illegally give them to the other presidential campaign contained in the second set of Dominion exhibits and depositions that got out on Monday. And that promise is conveyed to us from Tucker Carlson by Kevin McCarthy, as vile and scheming and worthless a human being as has ever appeared on the American political stage. A sort of man who in exactly 2 years went from prompting Trump to resign on the night Trump instigated an attempt to overthrow the government of this country to thanking Trump personally, repeatedly, grovelingly for getting him elected Speaker of the House with the support of such traitors and scum as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz. Maybe there was a similar pair of walking cancers in our nation's past. Pick somebody and join him or her with John Wilkes Booth. Pick somebody else and join him or her with Jefferson Davis. And why is the Speaker of the House of Representatives dealing personally with a creature whose reputation for 30 years in television has been that of a constant, remorseless liar? Who on earth does Kevin McCarthy think he is? What omniscient rights does he think he has? And who on earth does Kevin McCarthy think Tucker Carlson is? We have now gotten more details of this devil's bargain between Carlson and McCarthy, in which it is impossible to tell which one of them is the devil. I have said previously that in addition to his baseline of evil, Kevin McCarthy may also be that rare combination of hyena and moron. He also told reporters at the Capitol that he, quote, wanted to make sure we don't play politics with the release of the video, as if playing politics was not the only thing he's doing here and not the only thing Kevin McCarthy has the vaguest idea of how to do. If the perfidy of Kevin McCarthy and his alliance with the scumbag that is Tucker Carlson, so bad a scumbag it's continued on to the next scumbag, if all that were not bad enough, it is now clear that McCarthy's adjutant in this sleaziest of businesses is not that freshman Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile, whom McCarthy apparently talked into misleading the Capitol Police about setting up a viewing station, nominally for a House committee. In fact, it was for Tucker Carlson's producers. No, it's even worse than this kid, Stile. McCarthy's number two in this scam is Barry Loudermilk, the Georgia congressman who, as one reporter perfectly put it, is very familiar with the January 2021 Capitol security video because he's on it, shown giving personal tours of the Capitol and specifically of areas of it, as the January 6th committee phrased it, quote, not typically of interest to tourists, including hallways, staircases, and security checkpoints. The videotaped Loudermilk tour was on January 5th. On January 6th, one of Loudermilk's guests on that tour was recorded on video, marching towards the Capitol as the violence began, shouting, there's no escape, Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, we're coming for you. Instead of breaking rocks at Sing Sing, this insurrectionist slime Barry Loudermilk is actually the chair of a subcommittee of the Administration Committee, because evidently there were too many Republican crooks to put each of them in charge of a full committee. Now, Loudermilk is also promising that this is all above board because the Fox News producers, who were already viewing this January 6th video before Capitol Hill Police or the Department of Justice or Homeland Security or minority members even knew it was going to happen, they were not allowed to duplicate anything they saw, nor were they given copies of the videos, though there is no indication that there was any security preventing them from duplicating the videos, and even if there had been, it would have been security provided by Loudermilk and or McCarthy. Fox News producers, Loudermilk explains, must request that specific clips of the January 6th video be given to them, and those requests will be carefully vetted. And Loudermilk promises, quote, "We'll make sure there's nothing sensitive, nothing classified, including escape routes." Loudermilk then actually added, quote, "We don't want Al-Qaeda to know certain things." Al-Qaeda! Because Barry Loudermilk doesn't really know the name of the likeliest foreign terrorist threat out of whose hands we need to keep that video, so he just mentioned the last one he'd heard about, and we should be grateful he didn't mention the Baader-Meinhof group. And, of course, Loudermilk certainly wasn't going to mention the likeliest domestic terrorist threat, because how could he choose among the House Republican Caucus, Fox News, and Donald effing Trump. However, in a twist that could only happen in these cynical times with this cynical, stupid Republican congressional collection of America's flotsam and jetsam, there is blowback against McCarthy's indefensible deal with Tucker Carlson. And it comes from his own party. It's not about safety or propriety or false narratives or false flags or false news networks, but about pure politics. Monday night, and again yesterday morning, McCarthy met with his congressional leadership teams. One can envision the devils taking five in hell to huddle up with Lucifer. The team's anger was reported by CNN Monday night, but it got buried behind the second wave of Fox Dominion damnations. Some of McCarthy's minions, quoting the CNN report, questioned how long the footage is going to be dragged out in the press, with some lawmakers concerned about the optics of appearing to try to downplay a deadly insurrection in the U.S. Capitol. Quote, "Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get this over with," one GOP lawmaker told CNN. Happily for what is left of American democracy, those lawmakers are evidently unaware of what the crisis at News Corp means Tucker Carlson now has to do. He not only has to gaslight with the false flag story every night until he or Rupert Murdoch think the dozens of bombs inside the Dominion releases are no longer big news, but clearly Carlson also has to come up with something new and worse to distract everybody from the Fox scandal. He will now have to fabricate something using that video, something proving, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi is shown leading the mob towards her own office. Who knows? It's Tucker Carlson. Most of his brain may be a diseased, dysfunctional mess, but his imagination and his ability to come up with barely plausible excuses for Republican disloyalty and treason seems to be intact. There will be no relief of the dragging this out in the press, Republicans, nor the chance to just rip the Band-Aid off and get this over with, Republicans. There will be dozens and dozens of Band-Aids until Fox News either implodes or Tucker Carlson saves Rupert Murdoch's ancient ass. Even worse for the Republicans who have some foggy view of the real world that McCarthy no longer has. In this particular nightmare, they are also being led by this Barry Loudermilk. You know, the guy who's worried about Al-Qaeda seeing this video. I'm surprised you didn't mention the Viet Cong. Yesterday, tour guide Loudermilk of Georgia said he was not sure exactly what the time frame was for actually releasing January 6th video to Carlson or, you know, news organizations or, I don't know, whoever would pay Loudermilk $25? Is that the way this works? But get this quote. Barry Loudermilk, quote, "Hopefully sooner rather than later, but I think we're talking about weeks to months." Months. The real problem today on the Fox News front is, if Murdoch's propagandists are not actually mortally wounded, they clearly could be with a few quick shots from the Democrats or the Biden administration. But of course, I am asking for political street smarts from people who so far have not even been able to end the careers of somebody as stupid as Barney Rubble's body double, Marjorie Taylor freaking Greene. The first thing that should have happened yesterday was a notification to News Corp from the FCC. No, the FCC cannot do a damn thing about Fox News. The FCC has no jurisdiction over cable. I have been saying sentences like that since the year 1982. But the FCC sure as hell can do something about the 29 over-the-air stations News Corp owns in 18 markets from Albuquerque to Sandusky. It can challenge their licenses. It rarely works, but it always gets great publicity, and it always leaves scars on the corporation involved. The second thing that should have happened yesterday is that the Biden administration should have announced, matter-of-factly, that Rupert Murdoch can put any damn thing he wants on his little faux news operation. This is America. But A, that does not mean anybody has to treat them any longer as a journalistic entity, and therefore all press access under White House control is hereby revoked. And B, that therefore the scheduled Tuesday evening interview of FBI Director Christopher Wray by Brett Baer, the opinion host who actually believes he is a straight news announcer on Fox, that interview had been canceled. Well, guess what did not happen yesterday? Any of those things I just mentioned. Can we at least pretend to fight back? A last point on the January 6th insurrection before Tucker Carlson's nightly hour is converted by Murdoch into a 24/7 telethon to raise funds for the slandered patriots charged by the dictatorial Department of Justice. There are so many of these patriots whose idea of loyalty to America is to destroy its representative government, that they have officially run out of even bad excuses for what they did on January 6th. Newly unsealed court documents confirm that a retired New Jersey state trooper facing 5 federal charges helped knock over a barricade, pull other barricades out of the hands of outnumbered Capitol police officers, and entered the Capitol through a broken doorway after the building had been cordoned off and the insurrectionists had been ordered to leave. His name is Michael Danielle of Holmdel, New Jersey, and in an affidavit written by the FBI agent who interviewed him, retired Trooper Danielle said he only went into the Capitol because he was, quote, looking for a bathroom, and not finding one, left immediately thereafter, unquote. Looking for a bathroom. Well, if he needed to go, why didn't he just find the nearest American flag? God knows that's what Kevin McCarthy and Tucker Carlson use. Still ahead of us in this edition of Countdown, while the corruption of News Corp and Fox News and Rupert Murdoch is front of mind, time for me to recount what they did when somebody sent me and a dozen other liberals packages that they claimed contained anthrax. The FBI asked us all to keep it quiet for a day so they could follow a great lead. But News Corp published a story anyway in the New York Post and mocked me for calling the FBI. How dumb is Matt Gaetz? Dumb enough that he tried to score points against an undersecretary of defense by quoting an article from a newspaper that he did not know was published by the Chinese Communist Party. How do you spell Jackie Robinson? Don't ask the sign makers at the New York Department of Transportation. A big announcement about this here podcast. It's good news. And not only is Joe Biden running for re-election, but He's getting taller. That's next. This is Countdown.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snark, some predictions. Dateline Washington, petard time on Capitol Hill, as in hoist on ones. At a hearing into aid to Ukraine, Congressman Matt Gaetz decided to show up Defense Undersecretary Colin Kahl. He had a gotcha moment about American money purportedly going to a Ukrainian brigade once linked to neo-Nazis. Problem was, his source for this story was, well, you'll hear his source.
Is the Azov battalion getting access to U.S. weapons?
Not that I'm aware of, but if you have information,
I'd seek unanimous consent to enter into the record the Global Times investigative report that that talks about training. It's from the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensics Research Lab, citing that the Azov Battalion was even getting stuff as far back as 2018.
Without objection, so ordered.
Any reason to disagree with that assessment,
Dr. Paul? Is this the Global Times from China?
No, this is.
Well, that's what you read.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Would that be a reason?
As a general matter, I don't take Beijing's propaganda.
Well, no. Yeah, but just tell me if the allegation is true or false.
I mean, I don't have any evidence one way or the other. As a general matter, I don't take Beijing's propaganda at face value.
Fair enough. I would agree with that assessment.
As Undersecretary Kahl noted, the Global Times Gaetz was quoting is the international edition, basically, of the People's Daily, which is the official newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party. And as whoever runs against Gaetz next year can now say, Gaetz not only reads Chinese communist propaganda, but entered some of it into the congressional record. Moron. Thank you, Nancy Faust. Dateline Washington, another hearing, another moron. Marjorie Taylor Greene about the implications of school shutdowns during COVID.
What it did to our children's math and reading levels is horrific. School closures brought them to the lowest levels in years. English, eighth graders, math proficiency dropped by 7 points.
But do you have any numbers, Marge?
There are 1,524,481. This is over 1 million, 1.5 million.
A lot, Midge. Just say a lot and move on. Oh, I got to hear that again.
There are 1,524,481. This is over 1 million, 1.5 million.
11 billion. Dateline Leesburg, Florida, comforted by the thought that Ron DeSantis might be the Republican presidential nominee and not Trump. Don't be. DeSantis did a book signing in a mall yesterday. The book has his name on it. Lord knows who actually wrote it. But we do know who that was outside the mall telling Trump supporters who came to troll DeSantis that anybody wearing or carrying Trump signs was required to leave the area. It was a cop. Governor Huey Long used to do this, too. And Dateline the White House. President Biden's physical had a surprise in it. No, he's fine. He's just, well, in his last physical at the end of 2021, he was 5 feet, 11 and 65 one-hundredths inches tall. In the new physical, he's 6 feet tall. He grew 35 one-hundredths of an inch in a little over a year. Actually, it's probably just daily height variability or better posture, or as a terrific, legendary Saturday Night Live sketch from 1979 about the Three Mile Island nuclear accident was once titled, He's the Amazing Colossal President. Ahead, I went on at length yesterday about the measures News Corp and Fox News will take to prevent people criticizing it. Step one is always character assassination, but they don't stick to television character assassination. They also have a newspaper called the New York Post, and they have not only used it against my employers, but against two of my former girlfriends and against members of my family and often against me once because they did not like it when I called the police. When somebody sent to my home, what that person claimed was anthrax. Things I promise not to tell coming up. First, time for the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The Bronze, New York City's Department of Transportation. It has installed a new sign directing drivers from the corner of Myrtle Avenue and Forest Park Drive onto the Jackie Robinson Parkway. It's got his initials, the sign does. It's got a very good likeness of him. It's got his number 42, and it's got his name, Jackie. J-A-K-I-E. J-A-K-I-E? No, J-A-K-I-E would be Jakey. The Jakey Robinson Parkway. Your runner-up, CNN's Chris Licht. The implosion continues. A roundtable discussing the Norfolk Southern chemical disaster train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, featured on a Dana Bash program. One of the participants was a CNN political commentator named David Urban, a Republican who blamed, who else? The president, not Norfolk Southern Railway. Par for the course in the remaking of CNN into a right-wing outlet, but more importantly, CNN standards have just collapsed. Urban, and they never mentioned this, deflecting blame from Norfolk Southern, was, until 2020, president of the firm that lobbied for Norfolk Southern. But our winner, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, help us. We have elected a messianic theocrat. Mayor Adams has done it again, telling an interfaith breakfast that he does not believe in the separation of church and state. Don't tell me about no separation of church and state. State is the body, church is the heart, he said. You take the heart out of the body dies, unquote. Well, sure, if this is Iran. Last spring, Adams was consoling the family of a murder victim, and he suddenly blurted, I thank God I'm the mayor right now. And then at Shabbat services in May, he added circular logic to his obsessions. Quote, "There is no way God created me for this moment if he did not believe this was my moment." Uh-huh. This is not going to end well. Help us. New York Mayor Eric, "There is no way God created me for this moment if he did not believe this was my moment to be creating me momentarily for this creative momentum moment." Adams, today's worst person in the world!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com to book online today. Still ahead on Countdown, more of the News Corp files. The day the FBI had me evacuate my apartment because they weren't sure that what I had gotten in the mail was fake anthrax. And somebody leaked the story to News Corp's New York Post, and it identified who was to blame for the fake anthrax attack, and it was me. First in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need. You can help. Every dog has its day. Today, two of them, Dora and Lee. They were found wandering the streets in a small Arkansas town, saved by Positively Canine Rescue. Puppies just week old, sisters, abandoned, sticking together without food or medical care. They're now being treated for malnourishment, parasites, bacterial infections. The prognosis is good, but they'll need several $100 in vet care. If you want to donate, you can find Dora and Lee on Cuddly.com or on my Twitter feeds, and your retweets can really help them. I thank you, and Dora and Lee thank you.
You
You should never believe any source story you read in the New York Post, or indeed in or on any media outlet owned by the Murdochs, like Fox News. They occasionally do report real things, but just as often they make stuff up. Not exaggerate or get slightly wrong or spin for political purposes, but utterly fabricate. On April 11th, 2005, the Post was to run such a story. Only under the threat of multiple lawsuits did the Post spike the story. I've never told this thing before, but I was reminded of it the other day, and I think going through the mechanics of it will illustrate just how evil an organization News Corp actually is. Like you didn't know that from the existence of Tucker Carlson. But more importantly, how unreliable it is as a source of news, even for people who agree with it politically. As a New York Post page six gossip story, this one had everything. It attacked MSNBC. It had quotes from informed sources. Even at one point, it had a witness. It had somebody insulting Peter Jennings right after the late ABC anchorman revealed he had lung cancer. And it was constructed in such a way that if I did not comment on it, they could print the story, then come back the next day and rehash it and add that I was still refusing to comment on it. But there was one overriding problem. It was a complete fabrication. It was full of events that did not happen and people who did not exist. New York Post page six contacted MSNBC's then media relations guy, Jeremy Gaines, on Thursday, April 7th, 2005, and this was the story they told him. Me, a, quote, frequent critic of President Bush, had refused to anchor the coverage of the death of Pope John Paul II, pretended to be ill, and called in sick instead. The major problem with their story was I had anchored the coverage of the death of Pope John Paul II. I had been anchoring primetime coverage for hours each weeknight leading up to the pontiff's passing. There were viewers who saw me, studio staffers. Carl Bernstein was our in-studio papal expert and remembered seeing me there. There were videotapes of me anchoring. This did not stop the Post. In the first version of their story, page six told us that their unnamed source had been on board the Amtrak Acela train from Washington to New York, sitting near my agent as my agent talked to somebody on a cell phone. Their witness said my agent complained that I had had a, quote, meltdown after, quote, calling in sick rather than anchor the papal coverage, which I anchored. But there was more. Quote, Alderman, a frequent critic of the president's policies, said it was better in sports. They quoted my agent quoting me into the phone. She supposedly said, I'll be dealing with this all day now. Apart from the fact that I had anchored the coverage the Post claimed I had not anchored, there was another major flaw in the story. My agent was not on a train from Washington to New York on the day in question, nor the week in question, nor, in fact, the year in question. She told me she thought she had once been on a train from Washington to New York in the year 1967. My agent at the time lived atop Mount Shasta in California and so seldom left there that when she once drove to town to get the mail, I asked her for full details because I jokingly suggested we should lead the news with it. So the next day, Friday, April 8th, New York Post page six came back with a different version of their story. They had misheard their source. Of course, it wasn't my agent on the phone from the train from D.C. to New York. It was a woman who worked for my agent, a woman named Susan. A woman named Susan, whom I had, they would report, already phoned three times that morning and was to meet urgently at the boathouse in Central Park. Presumably because the middle of Grand Central Station would have been a little too public. MSNBC's Jeremy Gaines responded again with some irrefutable refutations. Nobody named Susan worked for my agent. In fact, sorry, Post, nobody at all worked for my agent. She was independent. She had a working relationship with a small Los Angeles agency, which basically covered her phone when she was on vacation, which was almost never because she never left the top of Mount Shasta. We called that agency and they confirmed they not only did not have anybody working for them named Susan, but nobody from their agency was even on the East Coast so far that year. At this point, I called the television columnist of the New York Post, who I knew a little, and off the record explained to him that I was furious and getting ready to sue, but that NBC was far angrier than I was and that they were going to sue as well and sue the editor of Page Six personally in an effort to put him out of business. I calmly went through the facts of this. This guy, who had a conscience, sighed, said he got these kinds of calls more often than I would believe. And I said, no, I'd believe it. And he said he would go to the editor of Page Six and explain somebody was lying to the editor of Page Six, and he was going to get himself sued into bankruptcy over a really obviously untrue and completely disproven story. A couple of hours later, New York Post Page Six called again, demanding a comment from me on a third different version of their exclusive papal scoop. No, the woman their witness heard, who they first said was my agent, then said she'd gotten it wrong. It was a woman named Susan who worked for my agent, had now become a woman who worked for my agent whose name the witness never heard, but she was talking to somebody else named Susan. And there was an additional quote that appeared out of nowhere. I'll be dealing with this all day now was gone. It was replaced with I'll be dealing with this all day now. The same week Peter Jennings makes his announcement about having lung cancer, this idiot, a frequent President Bush critic, is sitting around in his pajamas calling me about this. Years later, a former gossip reporter in Murdoch's employ explained to me that his celebrity and gossip people are taught never to back down from a confrontation, and that if the subject of one of their hit jobs fights back or tries to refute or especially threatens legal action, to keep making the story worse and worse for them. And in the first decade of this century, you were supposed to try to work in a defense of George W. Bush. But there's also what they called an emergency exit. If there is no question that the story is nonsensical, if the basic spine of the story does not line up with provable facts, just abandon it. Don't tell the subject of your attack that you are abandoning it. Just don't make any more phone calls and don't send any more emails about it. Just vanish. And then send the name of the subject around to all the other Murdoch operations to see if they can come up with any dirt on the subject to punish them for fighting back against the Murdoch lies. Well, it took the New York Post a year and a half after dropping this story. They never called back about Susan or my agent or the boathouse in Central Park again. But on September 26, 2006, I opened an envelope bearing a California postmark at my home in New York and a sticky substance. It looked like Drano mixed with talcum powder fell out. An accompanying note said it was anthrax and now I and other liberals would get a taste of our own medicine. Even reading those chilling words and having covered the actual anthrax letters attacks of 2001 for CNN, I knew it wasn't anthrax. The guy who supposedly sent the actual anthrax was an expert in the field, and even he mishandled the stuff so badly that the official report was he gave himself anthrax poisoning and died of it. On the other hand, what if I was wrong? My apartment building was filled with little old ladies who had lived there since Roosevelt was president. I only assumed that meant Franklin Roosevelt. The odds were about one in a trillion this was actually anthrax, but who was I to dismiss this on their behalf? So I made a phone call. Well, that made it into quite an evening. The cops showed up. The FBI showed up. They said, of course, it's not anthrax, but we have to act like it is. The hazmat squad came in. They set up a command post in the building. They swept my apartment. They said, okay, now you have to go to the emergency room for tests. And I said, it's not anthrax. You just said so. And they said, if we have to do this, you have to do this too. I laughed. And if you don't, we can arrest you as a threat to public health and make you do it. So out I went into an ambulance, dressed in a hazmat suit, one size too small that really chafed in the groin. I spent the night getting checked out, and the FBI called back and said, it's like Drano with ivory soap flakes. But they also said there were other letters that had arrived that night and the night before and the week before to people like the chairman of CBS and David Letterman's office and Nancy Pelosi and the wrong John Stewart. And they couldn't make me do this, but it would really help if I did not report what had happened to me on my TV show just for one day because they had a lead on the guy and they didn't want to scare him off. Naturally, I said, sure. The next day, while we were still observing the embargo on the story, my story, which actually happened to me, New York Post Page Six ran a picture of me with the headline, Powder Puff Spooks Keith, and making sure to identify me as, quote, can you guess? A frequent critic of President Bush's policies. It mocked me for not just assuming it was fake anthrax and ignoring it, and claimed I insisted the cops take me to the hospital. Quote, whether they gave him a lollipop on the way out isn't known. By the way, one of the anthrax letters in 2001, the actual anthrax letters had been mailed to the New York Post, and one of their staffers contracted the anthrax poisoning. But that didn't seem to matter anymore when it was a chance to take a shot at me. Anyway, as it turned out, there was a guy in California sending out these threatening letters, each with fake anthrax, to about a dozen people. He sent me four of them. I soon knew the FBI guys on the case by their first names. And one day I pointed out to FBI Doug that the last envelope had a barcode on it that maybe could track the guy. And he said, oh, you're right. And the next thing I knew, the FBI had videotaped the suspect mailing yet another letter to me from his home in Woodland Hills, California. And I swear to God, he actually lived in his mother's basement. And FBI Doug said, do we have your permission to pull the letter out of the mailbox and open it? And I said, sure. And the guy wound up going to prison for like 18 months. But not before FBI Doug said, by the way, the barcode you noticed, it was for the post office here. And that's where we found his address and the fact that he'd bought all this stuff and purchased a postal money order for $15 made out to the Catherine Harris for Florida Senate campaign. And that led us to his online history, which is all about how she is the most beautiful woman in the world, Catherine Harris, except for maybe some gal named Laura something. The most beautiful woman in history. And I said, Laura? Laura Ingram? And FBI Doug said, yeah, that's it, Laura Ingram. And if that isn't 10 years of my life in one sentence, I don't know what is. Thanks for listening. And thanks for listening so much. I'm happy to tell you that for the second consecutive month, Countdown cleared the podcast benchmark. 1 million downloads in a month. And in a month that only had 20 weekdays. Thank you. Now go and find others to listen. Here are the credits. Most of the music was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel, who are the Countdown musical directors. Produced by TKO Brothers. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. Our Beethoven selections, others of them, have been arranged and performed by No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis and appears courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comments from Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Jonathan Banks, and everything else is pretty much my fault. So that's Countdown for this, the 785th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now while we still can. The next scheduled Countdown is tomorrow. Until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.